Welcome to the Live Generously podcast. I'm your host, Holly Mumford. In today's episode, we are examining the idea of generous leadership. As usual, I've got Amy Sherman with me, and today we'll also be hearing from two marketplace CEOs whose lives exhibit generous leadership. Amy, before we get any further, could you define that term for us?
Sure. By generous leadership, I'm talking about the creative and sacrificial discipline of stewarding the power and the influence that we have for the flourishing of those who are under our authority, for the advancement of the common good.
This sounds like a topic that relates to bosses.
It does, but I would argue not only to bosses. And that's because I think all of us have some degree of authority or influence over others. Parents, at least when things are going well, have authority over their children. Teachers have authority over their students. Coaches have authority over their players. The person who's the chairperson of the committee has a little bit more authority than the committee members, and so on. So most Christians will find ourselves in some kind of leadership role at some point. And because of that, I think we all need to be attentive to what the Bible teaches about leadership.
It seems like we hear a lot about servant leadership in Christian circles. Would you say that servant leadership and generous leadership are the same thing?
Well, I think the two concepts have a great deal of overlap. My worry, though, is that the phrase servant leadership might unwittingly miss the critical idea of capacity. Leaders have a lot of capacity, and capacity is something that we need to steward very intentionally, prayerfully, and boldly. I recently heard a wise pastor say that capacity plus compassion equals good care. And so with this phrase, generous leadership, I'm trying to hone in a little on this notion of the leader stewarding his or her capacity well for the sake of increasing other people's capacity. Which then enables those people to contribute to the flourishing of others. It's kind of like this ripple effect. It's about multiplying others' abilities to do good.
Well, as is the case for most concepts that are rich with meaning, we can get a good understanding of it by seeing it embodied. Mm-hmm. That's why for this episode, Amy interviewed two marketplace leaders who are living out this idea of generous leadership. First, Amy spoke with Dave Smitson, the former owner of Cummings Crosspoint. Many listeners from the Indianapolis area will be familiar with the large Cummings Corporation, which manufactures engines, generators, and associated products. Cummings Crosspoint is a distributor of Cummings products, involved in both sales and service.
Yeah, that's right. So at the time of Dave's tenure, Cummings Crosspoint had about 700 employees. It was operating in several Midwestern states. And when I spoke with him about what generous leadership looks like, he thought for a while, and then he told me a story about something that he had done for the senior staff at his company over the past 3 years. And it involved Dave providing financial scholarships to these company members to participate in a top-flight 6-month leadership training course that was called True You. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Live Generously podcast.
Well, Amy, great to hear from you again.
Well, I remember talking with you about Cummins Crosspoint, your company, about 2 years ago. And at that time, you explained to me that you would be selling the company back to Cummins because of a national change in their distribution strategy, but you told me that before you left and sold the company, you had wanted to do something special that could have a really positive impact on your people. So go ahead and tell our listeners what your idea had been.
Well, one thing I really wanted to do was develop the individuals that had worked for me and had been influencers, and came across a professional development program based here in Indianapolis called 2U. Their goal was professional training, as we normally think of it, but also centered around servant leadership, and they did it with a very faith-friendly approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So about how many staff members did you scholarship to the True You training?
We've set a goal and probably achieved it of 40 or a little over. We operate in 5 states and have about 12 different locations. So my goal was to train 2 or 3 leaders at a minimum in each location and have a strong influence in that area and over those people in that area at least the best possible way we could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, you know, obviously this costs some money. So I think $3,500 per person to do this 6-month training. And so I could kind of imagine some of our listeners thinking, well, that was a really significant investment. Why was Dave doing that in a bunch of people that, you know, really weren't going to be his employees anymore, because, you know, you were going to be selling the company. So so how would you respond to the question, you know, what benefit came to you personally through this investment?
So as a business owner, I've always wanted to invest in my people so that not just I can benefit, but so they can benefit. I want them to see, or I would like to see them succeed professionally as well as in life in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like another area that was important to me, even though I'd be selling the company, I still have a heartfelt desire to shepherd them, and it was a good way for me, I think, kind of to pass the torch and have the company culture continue in a way I would want it to. So it's a bit of my legacy. So Amy, as I was setting my goals for what I would like to see long-term in an organization, certainly training managers of the future was important, but also I saw that I was investing in people that have impact well beyond the financial return of the company I left behind, and the people there, they were all very talented, and chances are they would move on to other organizations and have impact there as well. So at the end of the day, I really wanted to train up servant leaders with a heart for others, and just have a positive impact wherever they may go.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were wanting to kind of invest in them. That would be a legacy, but not just a legacy for the people continuing to work at the at the corporation with which you'd been associated, but really it was a multiplication and an extension of your legacy as these people, you know, over the next decades go on to work for all sorts of other companies.
I wanted to share Dave's story on today's podcast because it really captures this idea of generous leadership. Dave gave generously to these senior staff members for their flourishing, even though his own company was not necessarily going to see the full benefit of his investment in their training. Some business owners would never have thought of investing in the professional development of employees that they knew were not going to be their employees. But, you know, Dave had this bigger kingdom perspective, and he wanted to flourish both his employees for their own good, and also because he knew that as people who had received this good training at True You, they would go on to be great employees for other companies. And so here I think we see that multiplication factor that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, you can really see the ripple effect of Dave's generosity. Amy, you also have another story to share with our listeners today.
Yeah, that's right. I recently had the pleasure of interviewing Eric Stumberg of Tango Internet. He founded the company in 2002. Today it has about 30 employees. And Eric's company provides commercial-grade outdoor Wi-Fi services. So essentially, Tango Internet works with owners of, you know, RV parks and campgrounds and other kinds of outdoor recreational facilities to provide consistent Wi-Fi for the travelers that are using their facility. Tango is headquartered in Austin, Texas.
So in September of 2015, Eric moved the office space for Tango Internet to a new location just north of downtown. And it was a very thoughtful move, intentional, and to me was a great example of Eric's generous leadership. So Eric, I know that you moved both to meet the needs of your company, but also to be a blessing to others. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that story?
You bet, Amy. My wife Carrie and I had been able to share our offer hospitality in our home because we had an extra room, and so that's been a blessing for us to be able to share hospitality that way. And then I'd really taken seriously the concept of gleaning from the Old Testament and about how could we do something like that in our office space for people who needed space and offer hospitality that way as well.
Sort of like having a little bit more than you needed intentionally so that you'd have something to share.
Yeah, I think so. And that was a big concept for me, at least from a business standpoint, because most of the time I was very frugal with office space because it was just an expense item.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's how many people can you cram in a space?
Right.
This time it was, how do we provide a more beautiful space for our employees and then do something more?
Wow, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what the kind of co-working space arrangements that you've been able to design look like.
So when we designed the office, there were six private offices, two conference rooms, and co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
So we designated two of the private offices to be for someone else.
Mm.
It's almost like our tithe, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of those people was for an organization called the Women Against Slavery, and it was a friend of mine, and so we were able to offer them discounted office space and be able to use all of the common facilities.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And so they had a place to bring all their city partners here, and also we had the benefit of having them in our own office.
And I assume that Allies Against Slavery, that's some kind of a awareness building and sort of fighting human trafficking kind of nonprofit?
It is. So they're entrepreneurial in the space, and they're trying to develop a slave-free city model for modern-day slavery, which is sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been pretty great to have this company that's providing hospitality technology, right? Internet for the traveler.
Right.
And then a company that's trying to end modern-day slavery.
Wow, yeah.
It's been great for those two conversations to intersect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's one of the offices, and then you've got another office. Who is blessed by that one?
Well, currently, who's blessed is Father Peter Coelho, and he's director of Church of the Cross. Our church, Christ Church in Austin, had planted a new church, and Peter was the new rector of that church.
Okay.
And when they sent him out, I was talking with him, and I said, hey, if you ever need a place to office, you can stay here. And so after a few weeks, he came back and said, if you don't mind, I'd like to take you up on that. So he's been here for 8 months.
That's great. That's great. And you were telling me that he's there about 3 days a week. And when we were talking in an earlier conversation, I loved how you sort of described this relationship as really sort of a win for Father Peter, but also a win for your company. Tell our listeners a little bit more what you meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, the win for the company is, you know, is I think that work is sacred.
Mm.
And so having a priest, actually an ordained priest in the office, gives this really meaningful presence about what we do here. And that's a symbol that's really powerful. And I think not all of our employees are Christian. So it's also very demystifying for people to see a collared priest or come into the office, or a priest that's wearing shorts and a t-shirt come into our seminary. But he's developed very pastoral relationships informally with our employees, and it's been really wonderful. And again, it's a great reminder for me. And when I talk no other staff,
right.
And we are offering him community, which he would not have otherwise. And then the thing that I think has also been really neat is that interaction that he's had with our staff, both John at Allies and our staff here, has really formed him in his shepherding of his own parish, and particularly people at work. And so, I'm really passionate about the church's sending of people into their work that God's called into, and it's really neat to be part of that work in Peter, so that he can bless and send his people as well.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific.
And the last thing, and I didn't mention it, but he actually has a noonday prayer service every Tuesday. So,
neat.
And it's open. So it's been great for me. It's like to have essentially an office chaplain and a prayer service in my office, which, you know, is pretty cool. It reminds me that this is kind of one of God's sanctuaries where I get to practice my priesthood. So that makes it that weekly noonday service reminds me that this is it's a sacred place.
That was a great conversation with Eric, and it strikes me that his generosity also had that ripple effect that we saw in Dave's story.
I think that's right. By intentionally sharing his office space, Eric has enabled both the nonprofit organization Allies Against Slavery to extend its work, and Father Peter to gain skills and experience in shepherding marketplace professionals. I also think it's notable that Eric's thinking about hospitality in the office emerged out of his and his wife's experience of being intentional about designing their home so that it included living space for others. It's like we see the generosity that the Stumbergs expressed through their home carried over into the generosity through their company.
Yeah, it's a real example of generosity begetting generosity. Mm-hmm. Both Dave and Eric's examples of generous leadership on the business front offer inspiration for all of us in whatever place of leadership we occupy, whether that's in the marketplace, or the home, or the neighbourhood. Well, that's it for this episode of the Live Generously podcast. Be sure to check out the additional resources listed on the NCF webpage for more good insights and stories of generous leadership. And be sure to tune in next time for a special edition of the podcast featuring an interview with Jay Hine, founder and president of the Sagamore Institute, as he shares about an exciting new initiative called the Sagamore Renewal Fund.